But yeah, welcome to our last week of our series on the fruits of the Spirit. And if you're looking at the fruits of the Spirit and in your heart you're saying, you know, how can I keep up with all these things, showing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? I think I got them all. Then I want to encourage you, you're not alone. Okay, in Galatians 5:22-23, we read that these are the fruits of the Spirit, and therefore they come from the Holy Spirit. They don't come from us. So by ourselves, we might only be able to exercise, you know, so much love, goodness, gentleness, patience, Dad. That's my dad's favorite one. Self-control. And the rest of the fruits only for maybe a certain amount of time, but we will eventually fail to or run out of energy to exercise these fruits and show these to other people. Okay, so I want to suggest to you that if we genuinely want to exercise the fruits of the Spirit, we need to be in constant relationship with God. I want to go back to this kind of illustration that we're a little bit like a leaky bucket, okay? And as we're giving out to other people, our bucket is slowly leaking until eventually it gets a little bit empty. And I want to suggest that when we're in relationship with God, he fills our bucket back up. And it's a bit like that with the fruits of the Spirit. As we give out, the bucket gets empty and we need to come back to him to fill it back up again. In Galatians 5:25, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So I don't know about you, but to me that implies if we're in step with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is next to us and we're in some sort of relationship with him. To see the fruits in our lives, we have to go back to the source of where the fruit is given. It's not like the supermarket where we have to pay for the apple or the orange, okay? The only thing is that it costs us is our time with God. Which isn't really much of a sacrifice, is it, giving our time when we're getting back something in return? A bit of fruit, free fruit for you, Rachel. There's some free love for you there, for some free patience for you there, Mark. Oh, actually, you said you wanted self-control earlier, didn't you? More self-control. We'll get onto that one in a bit. I also want to challenge you today. If you are struggling with the existence of God, maybe you're trying to fully understand or rationalize God in your head, I want you to encourage you to think about these things, but not at the expense of actually your relationship with God and spending time with him and experiencing his love. We will never fully understand everything about God because he's all-knowing and we're not. He understands everything about the cosmos and we only have tiny human brains. So when we try to sometimes logic God, sometimes it just doesn't add up. We don't understand why things happen to us. We don't understand why we've been going through COVID. Sometimes that's a challenge for us. And that's why we need to spend time with him, because he helps us understand things from a different perspective. And it's the same when we're looking at the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits are more than just knowing and understanding. We also need to learn how to apply them to our lives. And Jesus helps us to do that through the relationship with him. The fruits of the Spirit aren't just like, I know, have we got any video gamers in the room here? Maybe some that are, yeah, we've definitely got a couple over there. We might have one down there, I'm not sure, we shall see. But when you play a video game, sometimes it's a little bit like, you try to master love, and when you've leveled up love to level 99 and you get it to 100, then maybe there's an element where we can then exercise joy, or we can exercise peace or patience. I keep saying patienceness, but that's not a thing, is it? Or patience. But exercising the fruits aren't like that. It's not a leveling up exercise. It's nothing that we can do by ourselves. It all comes from God and our relationship with God. It's no surprise to me that the first of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Love. Because the more that we fall in love with God, the more we want to spend time with him. The more we become like him, and the more we naturally exercise the fruits of the Spirit. Towards the end of my sermon, I'm going to be looking at how we have the opportunity to change our lifestyle. We have the opportunity to access the fruits of the Spirit more easily. But right now, we're just going to go through the last fruits of the Spirit, which are faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, faithfulness. As I was looking at the word faithfulness, I got some pictures come up on Google, and I'll tell you what those pictures were in a second. But before I do that, I wonder, by the end of our lives, what do we want to be remembered by? Faithfulness, when I looked it up, interestingly, when you type in faithfulness into Google, you actually get a lot of pictures turn up which are of gravestones, okay? Which I was like, this is a little bit strange and a little bit morbid. But in reality, I was thinking about this myself. When I die, I would like to have the word faithfulness on my gravestone. I doubt, to be honest, when I die, and I'm in heaven celebrating, I'm going to be looking back at my gravestone anyway. So if you want to put anything on my gravestone, I don't really care because I'm not going to be looking anyway. But I'm hoping it'll be something, you know, aspirational. We've got a first picture of a gravestone. I don't know how clear it's going to be and if it'll come up on the screen. But this first message that I've got of gravestone, it says this, faithful, tender and unselfish to the end. And that gravestone's for a mother. And if you're a mum in the room, isn't that such a great message? Faithful, tender and unselfish to the end. It's no surprise to me that the word faithful and unselfish come in the same sentence. I don't think you can be faithful to something and be self-centered. How about this next one? Faithful friend, Beano. Beano, I presume, is a dog. I think we've got the next picture, Bernie. Thank you. Faithful friend, Beano. Now, we all know, don't we, that dogs are faithful. Sometimes I fall out with my dog. I tell him off. He poos in the kitchen floor. I have to clean it up. He's disobedient. But every morning when I walk downstairs and I open the kitchen door, he's there wagging his tail. He's happy to see me and he's faithful until the end. Or how about this last one? A faithful servant and true Christian. You really can't read that one in the picture very well. But isn't that such a great aspiration to have in our life, that we would be a faithful servant and a true Christian? What a message. You see, when we write the word faithfulness, we often think of the word loyalty. But I wonder, with the word faithfulness, is there a reason for this loyalty? Is there something more to faithfulness? I'm going to introduce you to my good friend Mark. And without embarrassing him, he's been a very faithful guy to this church. He's served for many years. And he's also been a real faithful friend to me. Even when, Mark, I haven't been as good a friend to you, Mark has always been such a good friend to me. So he's just going to share you a story of faithfulness that he's experienced in his own life. And I'm hoping that's going to really speak to you. So do you want to stand here, Mark?
Oh, do you want to stand up there?
Yep. Yeah, I don't know if we've got a problem with the camera. So
okay. I'm looking at the back one, yeah? Camera.
Wherever you want.
Okay, I'm just going to talk to you about something that happened in my life. Many of you know Luke was born premature. Some of you don't know, I'm going to give you a quick brief. Luke was born at 27 weeks. Charlotte beforehand had been in hospital for 4 weeks on and off. Waters had broke. And we found ourselves in 3 different hospitals. And then Luke was born beginning of March in Bolton. And then they transferred him to Worcester. And this is where the trouble for me started in Worcester Hospital. I had my Joe moment. I was at my lowest. I could not think. Things really, really got on top of me. At the time, Luke had just had a blood transfusion. And he was just recovering from his blood transfusion when the doctors and the nurses decided, wouldn't it be a great idea to do a second one? I totally lost it. And an argument ensued, because I just felt that they were taking so much blood out of Luke, testing his oxygen levels, that the poor lad wasn't creating enough blood. So, massive argument appeared. And it was a pretty nasty argument. There's only three people in this world know how nasty I can get. Mum and Dad, my wife. Charlotte knew about it the day after, and Miss UN Peace Envoy sorts it all out. But at the time, I was absolutely fuming. I was shaking. I was trying to sort the milk out for Luke, his little bottle, and I just could not. I was so low. One of the nurses took it off me, knowing that I was so bound up. She got me to sit down, and she said, "Oh, we've got the NHS Wi-Fi. Would you like to use it?" I thought, "Yeah, great." First thing I did, I don't know why. Normally, I would just go onto something. I'd go down to the UVision app. Got the Bible app, and on the app, people can post stuff. And on that day, three people posted some really good stuff. One of them, I think it's Mr. Stewart, if you're watching, he's probably saved me that day. The verse that he posted was Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. To be honest with you, Graham, I was pretty annoyed about that verse, because out of the 31,102 verses that you can find in the Bible, these two verses popped up again in my life. Every time I've been at my lowest time, I've struggled, these two verses have popped up. When I've been low in Bournemouth, struggling with homesickness, somebody from probably from this church sent me a postcard with these two verses on. It's happened all the way through my life. Fortunately, my wife stashed some jelly beans in the cot, on my son's cot. And I ended up having to, I'm just pried, I totally broke down. But God has always been faithful to us as a family, all the way through our lives. Some of the things we've had to pull up with, God has been really good. And God does some really interesting things as well when you're at your lowest. Because on the Friday, at 7 o'clock, Limitless was on. Josh is on a doodling. Quick pray for them guys. And then Dusty's dad in the corner. "Hey, Mark, what do you do on a Friday night?" I said, "Oh, I do youth work for a church." "Why? Why didn't you go to the pub?" So I gave him my testimony. At the most lowest point, God sent me a little test. And then I find out that these guys on the corner, they're from Ealing Bible College as well. God really blessed us with Luke's recovery. And if you see him now, you will not think that he had such a dramatic beginning to his life. And God has always been faithful to us as a family, and it will be faithful to you guys as well.
Brilliant. Thank you, Mark. Just to say, sometimes we get into the youth group on a Friday night and I see that my leaders are tired and they're worn out. But there's an element where they constantly give out. And Mark has been one of those people for me. He comes in sometimes at a hard week. He's had to eat those jelly beans to keep himself calm, which he has a stash at work, haven't you? And actually, it's hard to be faithful when we're at our lowest points. But there is something amazing that happens when we are. I was thinking about the word faithfulness, and I thought to myself, what does it take for someone to be faithful to something or someone? And why are people faithful? If you break down the word faithful, you can read it as someone who is full of faith. And this is the biggest driver for someone to be faithful, is that they believe in what they're being faithful to. If someone is faithful in their marriage, it's because they believe in the importance of their marriage and protecting that. When we look at the original Greek for Galatians 5:22, and we look at that word faithful, there is the Greek word called pistis, and It's important to sometimes look at this translation because sometimes our English Bible isn't sufficient enough. The translation can get lost for the meaning of the word, the phrase, or the sentence, or the passage. But pistis is this, it's the conviction of truth of anything or belief. It's the conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. So it's to do with our relationship to God, and it generally includes the idea of us trusting in God. It's the conviction that God exists and is the creator and the ruler of all things. He's the provider and the bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. Wow, that's a mouthful. But in other words, we are faithful to God because what he teaches us is what we believe is true. And doing God, things God's way is always a better way to live than doing it our own way. We don't believe God is a God with a small g. We believe God is a God with a big g. He's the one true God. We believe he is as big and as powerful as he says he is. We believe that he created the universe and that he has everything in the world in his hands. Because of our belief in God, that's why we act upon it. And that will also dictate on how faithful we are to him. So as we grow in faith, we seem to become more faithful to him. If you read the Bible, most of Jesus's disciples died for what they believe in. They must have really believed in what they believed in to die for it. And if you actually look at their lives, they were faithful all the way to the end of their lives here on this earth. I believe we can't be faithful and selfish at the same time. There has to be an element where we're thinking less about ourselves and more about the bigger picture. We're thinking about God's picture. We're thinking about the plan and the big plan that he has in our life. So gentleness. When we look at gentleness, we can often love the characteristic. Isn't it nice when we see a gentle person? Isn't that nice? But I don't know about you, sometimes when I think of the word gentle, I can also associate with somebody who is weak or overpowered by others, somebody that's maybe a little bit soft. But when we read about gentle in the Bible, there's two words that we can associate the word gentle with. The first one is meek. Have you heard of meek and mild? And the other one is humility. And humility is, if you don't know what the word means, humility, is where we have low self-regard and a sense of unworthiness. Now, you might be thinking, that sounds a little bit negative. Why would I have low self-regard? But it's not that we have low self-esteem or we're low in confidence. It's actually that we are just a smaller part of God's bigger plan. We're submitting to something that's bigger and we have confidence in the bigger plan. So God's plan is more important than our own plans. And so just like when we're faithful to something, we're willing to lay down everything in our life because God's way is better. And that takes an element of humility. I don't know, I'm sure none of us have experienced this in church, but sometimes we do fall out with each other. And the most common reason for this is that we don't have the same point of view, or we have a different standard, or maybe a different view on which direction that we should go. However, I think of it a little bit like this. If there's an argument or a disagreement on something, it's because we're not on the same page as each other. It means that at least one or more of the parties involved are not thinking like Jesus thinks. In effect, one of the parties at least is lacking in some sort of humility. We're only thinking about ourselves and we're only thinking about what we want and what we believe to be right. But if we're truly focused on God and we both have the same mind of Christ and we're listening to God's direction, there is an element where we're acting in humility and things start to work better together. Showing gentleness must include humility. It means that when we interact with others, we are taking ourselves out of the equation and putting God back into the equation. And this is really hard to do if we think that we know better, or we think we're doing the right thing based purely upon our own brain, our own human calculation. And sometimes we can think what we're doing is best, but it's not always the best. And that's why we need the assistance of the Holy Spirit. As I said before, being gentle isn't always being soft. In fact, it's being kind, it's being loving and not aggressive towards others, but it's not necessarily being soft. By humbling ourselves and choosing to follow God's way of thinking, we also do that because we are sure and confident that his ways are better. So we're standing firm in what we believe to be right, and we're sticking to that. But when we're sharing that with others, we're gentle with it at the same time. If somebody asks our opinion, we don't waver from it. We don't move away from it. But as we're gentle when we're talking to people, we say, this is what we believe, and this is my opinion. And we're okay to share that opinion. If we're not listening to God and we're not in tune with God, we're going to struggle to be gentle and stick to the instructions that God has given us. I don't know about you, but some of the nicest people I've met are truly gentle people. As I said before, people sometimes hurt people. But I don't know if you've noticed this. Isn't it hard? If you're nasty to somebody that is gentle, it's a bit hard to not feel bad about it afterwards, isn't it? If you get the nicest person and you say something horrible and you go, oh, I really shouldn't have said that, you feel really bad about it. Whereas if you're saying it to somebody that's not gentle or somebody that's nasty anyway, you might not feel so bad about it. And I want to suggest that if somebody is truly gentle, they're truly humble and they're meek, and we're nasty to them, actually, the reason why we feel bad about it is because we're actually being nasty to a characteristic that is a godly characteristic. In effect, we may be being nasty to the characteristic of God. In Matthew 25:40, it tells us this: truly I tell you, whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. I wonder, how do we interact with others? Do we show true gentleness? And is it gentle, but is it also firm? And we're on to our last fruit of the Spirit now, which is self-control. And I'm sorry if it seems like I'm reeling off a bit of a list, but we've got a lot of content to cover today. I don't know about you, I don't know if you've ever wondered, why is self-control the last fruit of the Spirit? By showing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and gentleness, in order to have done that, we must have exercised a little bit of self-control. So by exercising the fruits of the Spirit, there's a level of self-control already included in that. I don't know about you, but sometimes, and Mark will probably agree with me on this one, I have very little self-control in my life. In the past, you could stick a pack of cookies next to me, and 1 hour later, maybe more like 10 minutes later, they will definitely be gone. I'll try to read my Bible every day and fail at that probably after the second day. But as I'm getting older, the journey God is putting me on requires a higher level of self-control. I don't know if you ever heard the... In church, somebody will say, oh, that person should know better. They've been a Christian and they should know better. And I think in our lives, we should always try and exercise a higher level of self-control. There is something, though, that happens, and I think this is the one thing that I really want to hit home today, is when we spend time with God, when we're in relationship with God, because it's in those moments that he helps us to be more self-disciplined. It's in those moments I can go from being very demotivated to motivated. I can be purposeless to becoming purposeful. And God has this way of sort of shifting our outlook in life from negative to positive. He shifts our perspective on life. I wonder, across our nation, how many of us, we spend time with God at church on a Sunday, but those that attend church, I wonder how much we actually spend time in relationship with God. I find every single morning I need to spend time with God, because if I don't, my perspective starts off on the wrong foot at the beginning of the day. Usually, if we think something is important in our life, we're going to dedicate a part of that life, our life, to it. For some of us in this room, we might regard physical fitness really highly. And so we generally will be able to find the self-control to regularly go to the gym or go out for a run. It's interesting, isn't it? We usually find things, time for things that matter most to us, because we have this kind of common goal in mind. When we go to the gym, we benefit from the self-discipline of exercise, and that's really healthy for us. But this is the same with our relationship with God. By investing in our relationship with God, our lives benefit from this level of self-control. We start to see the fruits of His Spirit. But just like any sort of exercise, there is a cost involved. There's an investment of our time and our energy spent. Between the where it lists the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and Galatians 5, 25, where it says about us, it talks about us being in step with the Holy Spirit, we have this verse 24, and I think there's a real reason why this verse is in the middle of those two other verses. And it says this: those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Might be a little bit of a hard verse to understand, but in effect, what we're saying is we're sacrificing our own wants and our own passions, because God's passions and wants in our own lives are bigger and more important, and that requires a level of self-discipline. It's a little bit just like going to the gym. There is this sacrifice involved, and we will see the fruits of the Spirit in our lives when we exercise a level of self-discipline. Verse 24 tells us we need to crucify all of our own human passions and desires in order to see the fruits of the Spirit. Self-discipline doesn't mean we want to suffer in silence by ourselves. You know, self-control is a difficult thing sometimes. And if we're doing it all by ourselves, you know, eventually we seem to unravel and can't stick to the plan. But self-discipline comes in conjunction to relationship with God, because it comes from the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit actively in our life all of the time. And this is why I said sometimes we're a little bit like a leaky bucket. We can leak and actually we struggle to exercise the fruits of the Spirit. In Romans 7, verse 18, it says this: for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. We cannot carry out good things all the time by ourselves. We need the assistance of the Holy Spirit. You see, as humans, we are sinful. We all make mistakes. We all do things wrong. And if I have the desire to do good, we may not be able to carry it out all the time unless we have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 9:23, it also tells us, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Every single day, if you are a new Christian today, I just want to encourage you, spend time with God every single day and try to follow him. We're going to fail, we're going to make mistakes, but that's the importance of our relationship, because he keeps us on track with him. I don't know about you, but I believe God has called us to be a disciplined people. And this is why every day we should be ignoring more of our own passions and just focusing on the godly ones. To me, it's become so apparent that every day we are in a level of a spiritual battle. We're in a battle with ourselves, and it's important we start the day focused on God so that we don't deter away from God's way of thinking. And this requires self-discipline. I'm not going to read 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 5, but it tells us in the end days, people will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of money. They'll be boastful, proud, abusive. They might be disobedient to their parents. And it says they have a lack of self-control. It's a really tough message, but it tells us here people are sometimes without self-control. But I want to encourage you. It's not all doom and gloom. It's not all that we are so bad, because it actually tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will provide you a way out so that you can endure it. This scripture reads, kind of cries out relationship to me. God wants us to do life with him so that he can help us to overcome. Maybe one of the biggest parts of our life on earth is that we are called to be overcomers. Despite the odds, we overcome. That's a good one to have on your gravestone, isn't it? I could carry on talking about self-control for so long, but time is cracking on. I've really enjoyed this series on the fruits of the Spirit because it just highlights to me areas that I can improve in my life. And I'm a bit of a tweaker. I love to improve things. Sometimes following in a godly way is actually costly to us. It can feel like we're suffering for it. And it's easy to veer off and try to go down an easier route. But we all have the opportunity, despite our opposition, to overcome these obstacles. And I've just put a couple of, well, I've put three obstacles together here. I think there's a way that we can overcome some of these obstacles. Obviously, when we're looking at the fruits of the Spirit and we fail to be patient, or we fail to show love, or we fail to share, to be joyful, obviously there are lots of different reasons, and I couldn't possibly go through all the reasons why we struggle to exercise the fruits of the Spirit. But here are three that for me are really, really important. Three things that in today's society that we struggle with. And the first and the potentially one of the biggest ones for me at the moment is time. Simon brought for my birthday a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it's a great book if you want to read it. But there's another book I can't remember what it's called now, but it's from Andy Stanley. And he writes in this book, he says, "You cannot get time back. The time you've used in the past has gone. You can only be more efficient with your time going forward." And I don't know if you've noticed, but in this country, there is a massive issue with mental health. We see that it's linked to people's diet, their sleep, their stress, their work, their family life. There's lots of factors, but maybe I want to suggest that there is something that we haven't considered. And that thing I'm going to call today is headspace. You see, many years ago, when you finish your day at work, you go home, you cook, you do your chores, and you'd spend time with the people you love. You might read a book, but there'll be an element in that evening where you would sit and you process your day. You'd wind down, so to speak. And the problem now is that what we do is what we do in our spare few moments. A lot of us now will stick on the TV. We'll clear the notifications on our phone. We'll look at emails. We'll think of our major life goals and aspirations in life, and we'll fill our time up with that. But what we don't actually do sometimes is take 5-10 minutes out just to have a bit of headspace, to realign ourselves with God, to have to start to pray with God, to be in relationship with God. And so what's actually happening is we're filling our lives that are so busy that we're not actually processing what has actually happened in our day. So it means that when we're sleeping now, we're processing what is going on in our day, which means our sleep pattern isn't so good either. we don't actually have as much space to spend time and relax with God. And for me, this directly conflicts with the fruits of the Spirit. If we are so consumed by other things that we don't have time for a relationship with God and don't spend time with God, it's no wonder that sometimes patience is the first one that seems to wear thin very quickly. Isn't that right, Dad? Yeah. We become a little bit more reactive in life to proactive when we're busy. And we can lack in faithfulness, or we can fail to be kind to people. And I want to ask you this question in this section: how much headspace do you have to consider your relationship with God and your relationship with other people? If you have no headspace, the quality of your time spent with God will be limited, and so you're going to be distracted, and so actually there's going to be less of you being filled with the fruits of the Spirit. The next one I want to look at is love. And I don't know if you've ever tried to stick to a Bible reading plan and you failed miserably. This happens quite frequently with me. I once tried to read the Bible in a year and failed quite miserably. So I thought, reading the Bible in a year is tough, so I'm going to try to read the Bible in 3 years. And I ended up probably being an extra year behind. I think it took me about 4 years to do my Bible. And even then it was probably a bit, I probably didn't achieve it every day. And so why is that? So it's probably a lack of self-discipline, but we have to realize that we're actually designed for relationship with God. We have a much better chance of sticking to the time spending with God if we're actually really enjoying our time with God. If you turn up to church and you're not just really not enjoying it, you're going to struggle to connect with God. But if you look forward to waking up in the morning going, yes, I'm really looking forward to listening to my worship this morning as I'm singing in the shower. I'm really looking forward to reading my Bible and learning something new about you. It just becomes a lot easier. It becomes, rather than a religious practice, it's more of an enjoyable practice. And that's where relationship is so important. I can guarantee, if you want to try and be a more peaceful person by yourself, you're probably going to fail at it. But if you spend time with God, he's going to introduce a peace into your life. If we fall in love with God again and again, as a result of spending time with God, we will receive more peace in our life. And if you're struggling today with the fruits of the Spirit and are thinking you just don't exercise maybe one of them or all of them well, maybe you're trying too hard and focusing so hard on trying to perform the fruits of the Spirit, but actually you're ignoring God. Sometimes we can go, as a Christian, it's really important that I'm kind to other people, but you're burning yourself out by constantly being kind to people, that you're forgetting that you get your kindness from God. And so you've got to go back to the source. I have to say, when I first married my wife, I thought I really loved her. But actually, the more time that we've been married, the more I get to know her, the more I realize I love her. And I think this is the same with our relationship with God. Love is so important. And the more you love something, the more you enjoy that time you spend with them. And as I've grown up kind of getting to know God and in my relationship with God, the more I love him, the more I get out of that relationship. The third and final thing I want to look at is this word humility, and also accepting. If we want to see the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, we have to be willing to look at our own lives and accept that we're human. And yes, we need to improve, but at the same time, not beat up ourselves about it. We are human and we're going to make mistakes. And so sometimes we can not forgive ourselves, and we can beat up ourselves for not sticking to the Bible reading plan, for not being kind to people. But there is that balance as well. We also need to look at our own lives and go, do you know what? I can be a better person. I can do these things a little bit better. We are going to make mistakes. We are going to do things wrong. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that we're not going to try to be better. As long as we can honestly assess and look at our own lives and be willing to be corrected by God's ways, eventually we're going to become a little bit more like him. And just as I said, how we spend our time is important. When we have free time, do we honestly, in those 5 minutes, in those 10 minutes that we have in the day, intentionally try and be more like Jesus? I think some of the most successful people in life are those that look back at their life and go, how can I do this a little bit better? How can I be more kind? Oh, I didn't actually exercise as much patience in this area, or I didn't show as much love in this area. How can we improve? And I think just having those moments in our days, in our weeks ahead, just putting that intentional time in our diary to look at our lives can help us go a long way. I'm coming into land now. I know I'm probably shooting over time, but I once heard this really good story about how there was a girl who was being mentored by a Christian lady. Most of their meetings would consist of the mentor asking this question. How's that working out for you? Was the question. The girl would sometimes say, I went out partying this week, or I went drinking, or I was chasing this boy and I was getting his number. And the mentor would always say, how's that working out for you? And there was always this point, this tipping point in her life where she would have to say, do you know what? I don't think this is really working out for me. In fact, there was an element where she had to submit to God and say, you know what? God's way is better. And the fact that she was willing to look at herself was when she first came to making a commitment to following Jesus. So I'm just going to end today, and I'm sorry that I've gone on a little bit, but would you commit to not just being a good person, to do right to others, but would you be willing to do things God's way instead of our own way? Maybe today you need a breakthrough in your life. Maybe things are just not working the way that you expect. Maybe you need God to perform a miracle, or maybe you need to just change the way you think to be more like God's. I'm going to ask you the question, are you willing to submit to God's way and choose to whatever it takes to build your life upon Jesus Christ? The disciples, I've already said, they died for what they believe in. They went to the extra mile. Isn't that possibly the most important thing that we can do in our life? Not necessarily to die, but to live for something that is greater than ourselves. Maybe when we sacrifice everything, where we give everything over to God, that's when we're going to start to see the good fruits in our life. Maybe when we hand over absolutely everything, that is the moment where something good happens. I'm just going to invite Rachel and Simon back up, and we're going to end in a song which is Build My Life. Is that right, Rachel? Devotion. We had a choice, didn't we? Choice of songs. This song's all about being devoted to God, and I just wonder in this moment, would you consider in your life, where is your devotion to God at this point in time? Are you really devoted to him in everything that you do, in everything that you are, in everything that you believe? Are you willing to hand over everything and the keys to your life back over to God? Shall we pray? Father God, I just thank you that you are a God that is faithful, that you are so good to us. But Lord, I pray that we will be able to share that faithfulness back to you. Father, we know and we acknowledge that your way is a better way than our way of living. And Father, I just pray as we go out today, as we live our lives, Lord, that we will commit to being the best version of ourselves. Lord, we know that we're going to make mistakes. We know that we're going to do things wrong. But Father God, I just pray today that we will follow you. We will follow in your footsteps to the best of our ability. And Lord, we will not abandon our time with you. Lord, we want to put time in our diaries to spend with you. We want it to be natural. We want to love you. We want to enjoy every single moment. And so, Father, Father God, as we sing this next song, Lord, we commit our lives to you, back over to you, and ask that you have your way in your wonderful and precious name. Amen.